Welcome to GoodNext, a podcast about doing good in the world. Together, we'll dig into the experiences of people who do good in very different ways to understand what inspires them, what frustrates them, and what keeps them going. I'm Annalisa Enrile, a social worker, professor, and human rights activist. Whether you're doing good yourself or just thinking about it, I'm glad you're here. In this episode, we begin by getting to know some of our GoodNicks through an unusual lens. When we talk about why people are successful, we typically talk about their strengths. But just as often, what makes them effective is their weaknesses, their personality quirks, or their neuroses. The same is true for doing good. What's particularly interesting to me is that these facets of their psyche have more than likely always been there. So we also wondered whether or not our GoodNicks were surprised they ended up on the path they did, given what they know about themselves now.
I was in fourth grade, and we used to come back up from the basement from gym to where our main classrooms were. And I was in line, like everybody else, waiting to get a drink from the water fountain, because, you know, clearly, definitely pre-COVID days, we had water fountains that were available. And I'm in line, I get my chance, I'm at the water fountain, and I take a drink.
Nearly everyone we interview in this series is an overt GoodNick, like a nurse, school principal, or community organizer. But Tanara is more of a covert GoodNick, a former dancer, chef, designer, and now an executive at a global consulting firm. Tanara is a disruptor who battles inequity wherever she finds it.
And the kid behind me says, "Hurry up." And I looked at him and I said, "I just got here. I'll be done in a minute." And the words that came out of his mouth were, "You blacks are all alike." And I just could not, for the life of me, understand where that came from. But that was my first literal fight, because I punched him in his face. And I think the first time I realized that I was actually in the middle of a war. I never imagined, I don't think the kid in me would ever have imagined the spaces that I would do work in. But I think when you're a kid, you think a lot smaller. My worldview of what I could become, I think, was very traditional. It didn't extend into spaces like this notion of being a designer without a traditional art school background. It certainly didn't extend to things like being a culture strategist and to being on stages in front of people, talking to them about things like women need to stop apologizing and our perspective on privilege needs to change. That would never have occurred to me. But the fact that I am the person I am, I don't know that she'd be all that surprised. I think my brand of crazy is I'm the person in the room who's just not afraid to say the thing, right? Like, there's always one in the room who's going to be like, somebody's like, how did you like that movie? And it was like, oh, it was good. I'll be like, nah, it was terrible. It's absolutely terrible. You don't have to agree with me, but I'm going to say the thing. I think my version of disrupting is calling the thing a thing. Like, I'm not going to sit in a room where there's a table full of white people and I'm the only brown person, and then we're having a conversation about equity, and I'm like, are you looking at the table? Look at the table. This is the conversation, right? Or there's so many of these moments that we have where nobody says the thing, and I'm just that person. And I try not to be mean about it. I try to be as gracious as I can about it, but I've strangely made a career of quote unquote calling people's babies ugly.
Tanara's reflection makes a clear connection between the things that make her fly as an adult and how the seed was planted as a kid. Let's find out what it was like for some of our other GoodNicks. Jesse is an expert in building movements, organizing thousands or sometimes millions of people to make change.
My first day trying to build a movement, that's kind of fun. A really old friend of mine who's still in my life, her name is Lisa Mum. Lisa Mum and I on the playground when we were 4 years old. I can't tell you what necessarily inspired our obsession with dental hygiene, but we decided to start a tooth club on the playground when we were 4 years old. And I'm nearing 41, and Lisa and I still hang out in Brooklyn, New York, and we talk about our recruitment efforts to build the tooth club when we were 4 years old at Good Hope Elementary School. And so when I look back, I suppose it was always flowing through me to organize and recruit people into different kinds of activities. The kid me would not be surprised at all. The kid me would be surprised that you could continue to do this as a grown-up and make a living out of it and like never actually give up your passion. That would be the surprising part to the kid version of me. Not only because I didn't know a lot of people who grew up to be professionals that did movement building like full-time for their jobs, but all the adults in my life also said, you know, at some point, this whole like change the world business or this extracurricular like leadership stuff, like you're going to have to like get a paycheck. You're going to maybe want to raise a family someday or something like that. But the truth is, I'm a lot like I was when I was really young. I've just gotten like a little savvier at it. If I know that there is injustice, I think on like a very personal level, I feel obligated to be a part of fighting that injustice. Like, where does that come from? Is that at like a DNA molecular level? Is that like my Jewish upbringing and learning about Tikkun Olam and repair the world? I'm like not a religious person, but if there is like one thing from Judaism that really stuck with me, this whole Tikkun Olam repair the world thing, like that's what I took from my Jewish education.
Chris is a teacher, principal, and founder of award-winning magnet schools in Philadelphia. And he says a common neurological condition actually works for him.
I mean, listen, ADHD is a fabulous, useful tool for a principal to have. I mean, like, I think imagine trying to live with this. Not easy. Like, the fact that I can have this kind of like what my friend AJ calls my buffer, right? Like, my friend AJ will call me up and he's tested this out to see like how many months he can go and pick up a conversational thread from 5-6 months ago. And he'll be like, he'll literally call me up and be like, so like I was saying, and I'll be like, oh yeah, we're talking about this, right? And he's like, this is, you're ridiculous. Cause he writes them down so he remembers them. And then he just calls me and sees if I can do that. And as a principal, it's amazing to be able to sort of juggle 47 things at once. Like, I don't understand the principals who sit in the back of the, whose office is in the back of the main office and their office isn't full all day. I don't like that. I want kids in my office. I want people in my office. I want my office to be the hub of the school. And if you're my wife and you are sharing, you expect me to be someone who will focus solely for long periods of time on one person or one thing, that can be a little frustrating because I like the chaos. Well, I mean, I think the funny thing is that for years, I wanted to be a teacher, and my mom would say, no, you're not going to be a teacher. You're not patient enough. And that was in large part because she would see me try to help teach my little sister, and I didn't have a ton of patience for probably. But then I went to college and I was an English major and was like, oh, you're an English major. You're going to be an English teacher. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to be an English. Like, and so like, I always joke around that it's, if you've seen the old Mel Brooks, Young Frankenstein, right? There's that moment, destiny, destiny. You cannot mess with destiny.
Deborah is a social worker, a psychotherapist, and a founder of community programs that serve women and youth in Los Angeles.
I feel like if my friends were talking about this or my family would be talking about this, I can hear them say that I am relentless. I don't stop. I go, go, go. Nothing gets in the way. And if it does, Deb will find a way in making sure that, you know, she follows through or making sure that things can get done. I don't like to use the word go-getter, but I feel like when there's something that I feel it's important, I will move mountains in making sure that it is addressed or that we find a way to, you know, possibly have a solution for it. Some people might say that I take it to the next level. Like maybe it's too much. She doesn't stop. She's 24/7. How do you breathe? How do you raise your family? How are you able to work? How are you managing, you know, an additional company? When do you sleep?
Max is a co-founder of a center in New Orleans that's redefining recycling.
I think for me, to be totally frank, it's like my naivete and just being naive often, even with something like glass, you know, this glass recycling program. We started it with the intention of like, okay, it's going to be this, you know, relatively small thing. We'll recycle you know, some glass here and there, the people in the neighborhood who want to drop off. And like immediately the glass started to pile up and the mountain started to form. And I think that at the same time is kind of like, you know, our superpower is being naive. And, you know, because I think if we spent all this time thinking about it and thinking about all the things that could go wrong and all the challenges that could arise and actually did arise, I don't know if we would have jumped in. So yeah, I mean, I think that's one element to it. I think the other is, I want to say a sense of neuroticism, but you know, when I starting this, it just requires tons and tons of time, whether it's crushing glass. And we started with a machine that went one bottle at a time. And I mean, you can imagine in a city like New Orleans, just how long that could take.
Sam is a police officer in a small town in New York State.
I'm equally obsessive and passionate about the job, which can be at times detrimental because it takes over my life, to me, in my personal life. But it's, as far as my job, it helps my performance and provides me the ability to do it and be better at my job every day. I mean, policing is the same as being a musician, unfortunately, in a way. And when I say that, I mean, like a sport, being an athlete or being a musician, if you don't practice, you're not going to perform well at your job, whether it's playing the saxophone or if it's being a soccer player or baseball player. If you don't practice it, you're not going to do well. Now, being a police officer, unfortunately, it's not just practice. You're not out there practicing. I don't go out there handcuffing people just for fun. So I became certified as an instructor, and I obsess over teaching.
We learned a couple of very interesting things from the Goodniks in our episode. One, we need to support the children in our lives who, like our Goodniks, already have a conviction, a why and a how to change the world. Because those that will do good will often start young. And two, there might not be any superpowers to doing good in the world, but there are personality traits, habits, and even neuroses that our Goodniks use as significant skills for creating change. What are the skills that might not fit into any other part of your life, but might be exactly what you need to start or continue doing good? In our next episode, we're going to explore how our Goodniks came to discover the particular problem they're working to solve. What was that moment like when they discovered that this was something they were compelled to do? Where did they find inspiration? Thank you for being a part of Goodniks. Goodniks was created and executive produced by Jeff Leitner, produced by Amanda Roscoe Mayo, with original music by Adam Ohlendorf, and I am your host, Annalisa Enrile. Goodniks is supported by the Jim Joseph Foundation and inspired by every one of you who is doing good in the world. To learn more about Goodniks, visit goodniks.org. That's GoodNiks.org. Or follow us on Twitter at the Goodniks and on Instagram at the_Goodniks.